Yeah, discerning fairly. Our topic description is discerning fairly. Discernment is needed in many facets of school. What are some steps that can be taken to ensure fair discernment that meets the need of the moment during the pressure of the moment? Here's this English rabbit trail. Why does adding T onto face make it say facet, not face it? Probably somebody has an answer, but we won't go into that. It's not really our subject at all. So I have three main areas we will look at on the subject of discerning fairly. I have them written up there. I do have a handout, but I'm going to wait toward the end. I encourage you to write down points if you would like to. And remember, repetition helps us remember things better. At least it seems to for my students. So being prepared, planning ahead, and being put on the spot. I don't exactly like the wording of that. You can maybe think of a better way, but I'm not sure how to put it. So planning, being prepared, planning ahead, being put on the spot. Those three areas we're going to look at when we think about discerning fairly. So the first one, being prepared. Being prepared for what you can is helpful. I had a dream before I was done preparing before I was done with this or ready for this talk, and in that dream I was not quite prepared for the talk. And it wasn't the dream, you know how dreams are, they're not always exactly how the setting will be or whatever. There were some inconsistencies, but I thought it was the next day or something, and I think I was even in my work clothes. It wasn't a good feeling. I think that dream ended though before I had to give him a talk. But anyway, it feels better to be prepared, and this is one of them. You can prepare to face some of these things. In school, what are ways you as a teacher can make fair discernment? Be prepared. Prepare thyself. Underneath the being prepared, take time for God's word and prayer. Take time for God's word and prayer. Don't leave a blank in your life or your day by leaving God out of the picture. Ask God for wisdom. Listen to his word. Apply it to your life. Take God with you through the day. Pray during the day. Practice that. It might be something to practice to get into the habit of. Number two, get your sleep. Get your sleep. A physically and mentally rested teacher will be able to deal with the pressures of the school day much better. Now, there may be exceptions. You may have to do certain things where you may not get as much sleep, depending on the situation, but the general rule, get your sleep. A lack of sleep will hinder clear discernment, and you may end up making decisions based on how you're feeling. Running on little sleep will most likely affect you, at least it affects me. If you are used to doing more physical work during the summer, you can push yourself a little more on less sleep. But in school, with more mental stress and dealing with people, get your rest if possible. Number three, practice letting go of school things after you get home from school. Practice letting go of school things after you get home from school. And there may be exceptions to this also. But if you're not refreshed the next morning because of dwelling on school problems, it will probably hinder clear discernment. Maybe some of you have had those nights where you're wrestling with a problem, something happened in school the day before, and you cannot sleep very well that night. It's not a good feeling, is it? So there may be times we can't help it, but. So how do I let go? Different ways. Different people are going to do different things. Just some ideas here. Take a walk, read a book, do something small that helps to clear our minds. Maybe get a cup of coffee or make yourself some tea. Maybe do cartwheels, do push-ups, go jogging. Start a gratitude journal. Sing a song, maybe yell. Yeah, maybe. Start a hobby. So practice letting go of school things after school. The next point is, this next main point is planning ahead. First one's being prepared. How many of you like math over language or English? Okay, how many of you like English or language over math? That's fine. I need two volunteers actually. One from the math group of people. Okay, thank you. One from the language group of people. I think you raised your hand in language, didn't you? Okay. I'll just act like you're my students, kind of just pick on you, huh? Okay, it's not hard. It's hopefully not too bad. I'm not going to tell you what yet, though. Okay, planning ahead. But if I wait too long, I'll have to just...
Well, let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to come up here and do that math problem for you.
Do you want to guess what you might have to do with that problem? Okay, I did keep it simple, hopefully. Maybe we could just help her out.
Let's practice her language a little bit here. Okay, thank you.
Is he right or wrong? How fast can you do math? Right?
Okay, any mistakes?
I'm not picking on you. I just...
missing comments.
This is kind of fun. Thanks for leaving it out.
That's kind of fun to add things like that. Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and diagram that, please.
Do you want
me to diagram? Sure, yeah.
You don't have a ruler or anything, do you?
No, I'm not going to be picky on that. Sadly, that's something I started to work on. Because I... That's good enough. Yeah. It's okay, we get picked up. You need to put the period on there?
Maybe some trick ones too, I don't know. Because there's a little difference in the trick ones, I noticed, on some diagramming things. Anyway, let's go ahead and just label those quickly. What's the E?
Noun.
Noun.
Subject. Not a noun either, quite, but
pronoun.
Subject, and then
verb,
and then the last one is?
Direct object.
So remember, straight line, direct object, slant line, predicate, nominative, predicate, and that's without the subject. But just the idea of being prepared, which you can't really prepare for that too much. And okay, let's go on to the second point, planning ahead. So how can we plan ahead when Tom comes zooming in the room at last recess and says it wasn't fair? Or Sally comes in to you and says, Tom pulled my braid. How do we prevent problems like that from happening or lessen their repercussions? Getting your sleep and letting go of school care is what we mentioned there. The first part is really part of planning ahead. But there's more. And under this point, I have 11, I think, points. Spend time with God. Now, we touched on this earlier, but I thought I'd mention it again. Spend time with God. Ask God for help and direction. He can help us in those tough situations. But also remember, we are students in God's school. Try to learn through the tough times too. We are also a work in progress. There's much we can learn. The students may have it hard, but we just might too. God may be speaking to us at times. So spend time with God. Number two, see the problem as soon as possible. That gives us time to mentally deal with what happened and for solutions for the problem. How do we see the problem sooner? Being out at recess, paying attention in the classroom when having classes. Maybe it's easy to be distracted about what we're doing up here, or every once in a while look back, or just say something to them back there, act like you're looking at them. That probably shouldn't be done too much. Might be distraction, but... And even when you're sitting on up at your desk, maybe look at them once in a while. Make sure they're minding their business. look up from what you're doing every so often. Get out there on the playing field, if that is possible. Number three, commend students on good behavior. So number one, spend time with God. Number two, see the problem as soon as possible. And three, commend students on good behavior. Encourage them to cheer other students on. If students see the fellow students as good friends, how can they hold a grudge for long? Yeah, it probably happens, but the more they see them as their friends and someone they want to help and encourage, the less we will have fightings and wars among our students. And I really wonder if rightfully commending students would help us more than we realize. Maybe we need to experiment sometime and see if it works. I wonder if rightfully commending students would help us more than we realize. So commend students on good behavior. And along with that last point, work the soil. Work the soil. Plant seeds to help them want to do what's right. Prove that soil. Fertilize it. Number five, be an example. Be an example. Now, well, actually, you are an example, no matter if you think you are or not. Leave an example that you want to be followed, or that you want to have them follow. If you yell every time you come to the gym, some of the students might just yell too. Or if you put the cart before the horse, they might just ride off with the horse and let you sit with the cart by the side of the classroom. So be an example of how you talk to others in authority, or how you speak about them. If a policeman is a bad guy, do you think they'll respect you? Respect those in authority over you. Respect yours and others' personal property. So be an example, or be a good example. Of course, that's a work in progress. Number six, find the danger zones. Or you could say, pick your battles when possible. Find the danger zones. If you know a certain game causes problems, don't play that game for a time, or warn them that you'll go in early. There's problems. Just not just an example. If you know that, let's say, for after story, you know the students love to talk and you give them opportunity, or it just happened that they had opportunity, and you don't really like it, try to take care of it before it happens. Tell them, we're not having discussion after story, although you do enjoy good discussions with them. So find the danger zones and pick your battles. This one is maybe a little queer one at first. Number seven, you might be older than you think. Now, let me explain myself a little bit. Something I dealt with, maybe still do. You're not as young as they are, and at least probably as a general rule anyway. And along with that, they probably look at you as quite a bit older than them, even if you are about their age. What I'm getting at is, don't let the fear of your students control you. If your request is reasonable and prudent, say it and mean it. Yes, it may look like they're carrying a bigger stick than you, but most likely theirs is from Dollar General, and yours, hopefully you're carrying the sword of the Spirit. So remember, you, not the student, is being asked to fill your responsibility of leading out. You, not the student, is being asked to fill your responsibility of leading out. So you might be older than you think, or don't let the fear of your students control you. One of my students, I think it was maybe, well, I'm 35 now. I was in the early 30s maybe. And I'm not sure if I asked her or how it was exactly. She was in 7th, 8th grade. Anyway, I'm not sure her words, but the idea was that I was old. And anyway, that point there is something I deal with. Maybe none of you do, but it's something to think about. Okay, number eight, ask others for help for the problems you may be facing. Okay, common sense here, but ask others for help for the problems you may be facing, be it co-teachers, school board, parents, ministers, and others. Other people's perspectives can help us. We can check the left mirror and the right mirror and the middle mirror, but forget to look in the mirror at ourselves. And that's what we need. It was maybe mentioned in one of the talks out in the auditorium. We need other people to see the other side that we might not be seeing. We aren't too big or too small to ask for help. But we also need to be careful in this too, not to spread stories and rumors or make things worse by going around talking about our students or things that are happening. But sometimes we do need other people's perspectives. So a lot of this is really about being prepared. And before we go to the next 2 points or more practical ideas, let's do a couple object lessons. Start with this. These two flashlights here. Which one of those would you rather take camping or hiking or, I don't know, looking for fabric in the closet? They both do work, actually. This one does work. No, it might not look like it. This one has varying degrees of brightness. What would you pick?
The larger one.
Larger one. I would too, probably. Unless it was really dark out. And I was going to be camping for 1 hour. Maybe.
Okay, what about this?
GPS versus a compass. That can vary. Which would you pick if you were going to prepare thyself for camping, hiking, find the fabric, not work too well. I have a compass. That's an electronic compass, though, so you could use this too, but to figure out how to use it. Which one would you pick? Depends, right? I'd be like this guy's because it's electronic. It's waterproof, maybe. This is great too, though. It probably depends a little bit. So there's situations where it'll probably depend. Sometimes you'll pick, you'll probably pick this one. Probably, and they both probably survive a fall, but you'll probably pick this one to be more practical. Sometimes you depends who you are. You might pick a different solution to the problem than somebody else, or depending on your school situation, you may have to deal with it a little differently. Ladies, what would you do? Well, even the guys. You might have a different opinion, I don't know. If you were cutting... I just cut fabric with this, maybe. Probably could, but... I'm not very good at scissors. Somehow I try them out. So cutting something my wife or somebody cuts and it works. I don't know. I need real good scissors. Like leather. Okay, what should you pick for cutting... paper.
This one?
This is the bigger one? Yeah. This one actually works really well, though. Cut fingernails and... I suppose you go with this, too. But yeah, you would probably choose the one that looks like it'd work better. Well, this was a good invention. So depending on the situation, you will maybe choose different options, like on the compass or the GPS, depending what your experience is or depending on what you're facing, maybe. If you were going to be gone for many, many days and you didn't have the extra room to bring extra batteries for some reason, you might take a compass. Now, if you don't know how to do a compass, maybe just stay home. I don't know. It just depends. I'm not saying stay home from school. That's not what I'm saying. But so depending on the situation, you may choose different... choose different options of dealing with the situation. Let's go on to the next one here. Next 2 points are more practical ones. And I want a little involvement from you again. Number 9. Have a small list of small punishments, or you probably say it different ways. Have a list of small punishments you can give students when they act up on the spot. Have a list of small punishments. Probably one of the most practical ways you can be prepared, at least in my experience, and I haven't done it a lot. I'm starting probably to do it a little bit more because it actually is very handy to have. And it also gives you more time to think of something else to do if it's a bigger issue that you need to deal with. Sometimes that's all you need to do. Just go to your list of ideas, like writing your spelling words. Now here again, it could vary on your where you teach or how people how they deal with situations where you teach. But just some examples, ideas: spelling words twice for pulling Sally's braid, or 5 minutes off from recess, or head down your desk, maybe even a math problem on the board. I wasn't trying to punish either of you. Writing the 7 times tables 10 times, or walk around the gym twice, or around the school twice. Things like that can maybe be just the punishment itself, or if you're not sure exactly what to do, it gives you more time to think and to decide if more action is needed or what to do next. Gives you time to call 911. No, maybe to call their parents if something is really serious. Another idea would be if they need to know or need more practice on learning what a direct object is, you could have them write it 10 times a definition. Or how to use a dictionary better, you could have them look up a few words and read them to you or write down the definitions. So now I need your involvement. I do need 2 brave volunteers. Students, you're going to be our bad students. Okay. Don't feel like we're picking on you, but I guess we'll have to kind of. All you have to do is just do a little bit of just a practical illustration of what I'm talking about. Okay. One and one more. Okay. You can stay where you are right now. Okay, so I have a small list of ideas here, maybe a big list. And we need an imaginary scenario now, or a real one. If some of you have a real one you're not sure what to do about, we could try giving that a shot too. And if it's too major one, we just keep it simple because we can't deal with major things right here. So now it's time for the students to act up. So what's some scenarios you want to throw out? Try to throw at me and see what happens. You've been doing that all week long, I think, right? Okay? No. You're not guilty, are you? Yeah. So let's say he's been doing that. You don't necessarily have to come up with it. You don't have somebody else wants to come up with one for him, but he did it for us. So. Thank you. Could you come up here, please? Now, if he's too rebellious, I'm not sure what we would do.
He has all his friends back there. They're all okay with this, so
we'll
see what you're
going to
do.
Okay, so he had support. Okay, thanks for making it worse. See, I don't really know you, though, very well, so we'll just imagine I do. Okay, so here again, it would depend on the grade level. If he was in 3rd or 4th or 5th, it might be different than he was in 8th or 9th grade. We had a 10th grader to look out the window and stand there for a minute, it may or may not work depending on the student.
We don't really like that in our classroom. And they get lots of support back there. And they may have to do it too, but I have other ideas too that they may not want to do that could get worse. Have you write the 9 timetables, and you know very well how to do this. What I've seen you do before,
so you're good at it. That is excellent practice too. Something that you can't do to other students. So, yes, please. And why don't you write them twice?
Like 9 yet? Yeah, not 9999999, not any of that. You have to do it all over.
It's up to you what you want to do. If you'd like to do it 4 times, you may. Let's say he's a student that turns around and looks at them while he's doing his punishment. If you turn around, see, you'll have to do it another time, okay? Well, now we need to, let's say I'm trying to go with class here, so I don't know if you want to act up or not, but, let's say she's about ready to act up over here.
How about a different time? I usually have students acting up to the time that I can deal with, except left to both of you when doing it, but
sort of just drawing me
off. Okay, what should we have her do here? All right, you had an idea. Something you dealt with.
She could whisper.
Okay. You're doing very good. Probably will. Yeah, that's good. I do see one problem, though.
I'm getting there.
That's good. One thing I'll have you do when you're done, though, instead of next time when you do this, I ask you to do this right out as you go along. But instead, no, you can go and finish it. What I'm going to have you do, though, is write the answers twice beside it.
Now, there, I may have not made it clear to him, so make sure your instructions are clear so he knows exactly what he's supposed to do, otherwise you may be punishing him all morning. No, hopefully not. But so she said, you say she was whispering. Are you the telltale? Okay, I'll just imagine you gave us a scenario. Yeah, we better for time's sake. So you were whispering. Why? Sorry, I put you on the spot. It was fun. Yeah, it is fun, isn't it, to whisper? Have you tried it in church? I don't know. I think it's best not to whisper. Actually, it is best not to whisper. I think, let's say you were in the younger grades. Well, instead of putting your head down on your desk, why don't you go over by the window over here? Yeah, by the window. Yeah. Sure, I need my timer. No, just face out the window for till I tell you. You'll be okay over there. Actually, she was one of my co-teachers, so now I can pick on her. No, we had good times. I wasn't watching all, but it looks good. Looks good. Thank you very much.
And it's great practice, isn't it? You know him better now, I guess.
Okay.
You made your back. Thank you very much. You make it back. I'm not sure if you were peeking back or not, but sometimes it's good just to let things go, too, if you're not sure what happened,
to let it go, because if she wants to whisper again,
it's fine. I'm not in particular.
Or if he wants to act up back there again, let's say he didn't do it right on purpose and was making a big mess and spawning his friends and I didn't see it, or she was over there, you know, looking back all half the time. They're going to do it again, probably. So don't have him up there all day or have her over there too long either. Sometimes it's a short punishment will work wonders. It's been amazing. Something just as short as like 30 seconds when they pedal the student, of course, probably, but they've done something wrong and tell them to stay on recess. You know, just put your head down on your desk and they'll time you for 30 seconds. And I don't know how it works, but sometimes just a little short punishment makes a difference. Okay, thank you very much for your involvement there. Remember I said two brave volunteers. Okay, have a list of small punishments. Number 10, install some preset punishments if needed. So similar idea. But this would be maybe something you would tell them ahead of time. The other one I would not tell them ahead of time necessarily. They'll catch on probably to some degree. But this would be more something maybe if you're dealing with ongoing issues. Have some preset punishments if needed. Say a student pulls a girl's braid or something like that. Have them write out. Hopefully that's not a habit in your school. But have them write their spelling words at least 5 times. Put the at least in there maybe. So you have liberty to up it as needed. Hopefully that's not needed. But, or say, for example, if the student talks in the hall, have them come in and sing J-O-Y. Just some things that if you install some preset punishments, it may help you as a teacher to not have to do as much discerning on the spot because you have pre-discerned what to do, if that's a word. And there again, it may be more for ongoing situations that you have to deal with. Install some preset punishments. Let them know what's could happen. And number 11, realize students may be facing other factors. Realize students may be facing other factors that could cause them to do things they wouldn't normally do. Not everything may be as we view it. Maybe their home life isn't pleasant, or maybe they stayed up half the night fishing or doing homework. Hopefully not. But. Or maybe they ate more candy in a day than you did in your whole life. Probably would affect them. I would not want to teach them the next day. Students may face factors we can't see. So when things happen over and over and we might start getting worked up, remind myself of this, that they may be facing other factors we cannot see or do not know about. And also remember how much we have been forgiven by our Heavenly Father. We have been forgiven much. I'm not saying to overlook things they've been doing, but it could be another factor in dealing with students. Okay, now what about when you're being put on the spot? What about those times you're put on the spot, someone comes crashing in the door and lands at your feet just like they saw an elephant? Hope we don't have elephants too close by, unless you live by a zoo. Or when someone comes screaming in, literally or figuratively, and blames you or a fellow student of doing wrong, or worse yet, when a parent comes screeching in on two wheels, literally or figuratively, hopefully neither, and puts your nose on the chopping block or on the blackboard. I guess that'd be another punishment, too. I don't know if I ever use that. Put their nose up on the board. I think my wife has, don't you? Then what are you to do? Now, before we get to the other that part of it, just some ideas on top of that. Relax. Oh, that's kind of a weird point, isn't it? I don't have these on the handout, but it's kind of some extra things. You relax. Well, sounds kind of weird, but... And pray. Sometimes there's not much else you can do in some situations. Those would be probably the more rare ones. Unless you have a literal cut to take care of or something like that. A student with a bloody nose. To give it a minute or two or three. If you can, sometimes some problems, you can give a little bit of time. Let the person lose some of his steam, if it's safe to do so. That time also gives you time to think of possible solutions or answers. And number three, give it more time. Tell a parent or student you will get back with them. This won't work in many situations, but in those rare times, it might be something to think about. Relax. Pray, if you can think that clear to do those two. Give it a little time. Yeah, but what about the situation that has to be answered right now? Like a student flying an airplane during class, or our student back there that was, whatever he was doing back there. I tend to forget pretty fast what the student was doing. Usually you need to act fast, and that goes back to our first point, to being prepared mentally. Think sleep. Being prepared spiritually, to best respond to those situations. So I kind of dumped it back in your lap. But before we go on, just a few ideas. Do you have any ideas or things you have faced that you have been put on the spot for? That's not proper English there. What's some things you have been put on, not necessarily to answer them right now, but just some ideas to get us thinking in that direction. What's something you've been happen in your classroom? Or that you expect could happen in your classroom.
I recently faced it all the time where they both think they got the other one caught.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've experienced that too. Okay. Any other things you've faced or would like not to face?
Delayed obedience.
Okay, yes, that's... That is, oh yes, that's another common one, apparently.
What was it?
Delayed obedience. And the other one was recess when they both thinks they're right, basically. They both think the other one was caught first or whatever, the idea, right? Most of you don't have problems, apparently. That's great.
Yeah, it's funny thing in our school is we had a student that was especially fond of taking dares. And they told me, they said, if somebody dares me to do something, I just have to do it.
Okay.
And anyway, one time behind my back, in science class, I was demonstrating about parts because we were learning about bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I had a big old cow heart up there on my desk. And we were done with science class, and somewhere along the line, I'd been dared to kiss this heart. And so they watched very carefully until my back was turned for a minute or so and kissed the heart. Of course, it caused a huge disturbance.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
quietly, but I could tell.
Something was wrong.
But I never saw it.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
I told me about it later.
So another example. And the parent told you later then.
Yeah.
That's kind of a bad feeling, isn't it?
like,
oh no, I should have seen that.
Right.
Okay. Yes, that'd be another example. And probably a lot of you, or maybe all of you, have other examples. I wasn't saying you didn't have. Okay, so there's just some examples you can think about, gets you thinking that direction. So just some more practical ideas on that. Choose the best option you have at the moment. And actually, I have her example in here. Choose the best option you have at the moment. If both students disagree who was caught, actually I had that in here. She didn't tell me to put it in here. Make both of them go caught, that'd be one idea. Or make them both go back to their base. I think I've done probably both of those. If they're older and you think they can work out a solution, let them give it a go. You might not go too far away though. Yeah, what about the student flying that airplane? Maybe check your small list, or your list, what's the right way to say it? Your list of small punishments, possibly. Probably take the airplane away, and probably don't fly it right then. Unless you got an object lesson right then, that would be great. Have them stand up, maybe, and just stand there. Like I mentioned before, little things do make a difference, or can make a difference. So choose the best option of the moment. Maybe set a timer for 3 seconds, or head on the desk. Number two, ask them what they think they should do. Now here again, it might be more for older students. Ask them what they think they should do. Don't necessarily mean that you do what they say, but it gives them opportunity to think about what they did, depending on the situation there again. And moreover, it gives you time to think if you're not sure what to do next. Ask them what they think they should do. Number three, run. Okay, I really don't know if this would work. Don't try it. Or maybe do. Has anybody tried it? Anybody tried running from the situation? Doesn't sound even biblical. I just put that in there. Not sure why. Just don't use that, I don't think, unless you have a rare circumstance that I don't know what it would be. So there could come some sort of scenario. Okay, number four, tell them to go to the classroom. This might work at times. These are just ideas. Some of these you may want to use once in a while, maybe never. So don't necessarily think that you go out and try them all out because you might be scared. Tell them to go to the classroom. That also gives you time to think, and sometimes a talk can be in order. I need to keep moving here. Ask questions, similar to the other one, to make them think through their problems. If they're older students, it also gives you time to think of a solution again. Number six, if at recess, tell them to sit off to the side for a bit. If at recess, tell them to sit off to the side for a bit. You can't get these all down. I do have them on the handout. Actions speak louder than words. If they know they misbehave, sitting off to the side can speak to at least some of the students, maybe to the other ones playing too. Here again, if you need to do more, it gives you time to think of a solution. A lot of times that's probably all you need to do. Number seven, keep a punishment short. Keep a punishment short. If a student sits off to the side while others are playing, or left, if I would have left him up here too long after he was done writing it up, or her over there looking out the window for 10 minutes, no. It would have caused other problems in real life. Now, you two may have been able to do that but for a while, but you probably got bored. To keep the punishment short, number 8, take a punishment with the students. This may be helpful in rare cases, but probably not too many. Take a punishment with a student. Tell all the students to go back to their room. Some are too. Actually, I kind of repeat what I said before. Here again, probably not something you want to do much at all, but throwing it out there as a tool can help you think. For example, John, George cheating in King's Base, and you saw them, and you know it's an issue. You call them in and give your room a little talk. Like, say it's an issue with the whole room. Let them know if this continues, recess may continue to be shortened. Or say that, boy, they're blowing bubbles in the classroom. Call them to attention. I don't know where they got the bubbles, but anyway. Call them to attention and let them stand beside their desk for a minute. Or 30 seconds. I'd keep it pretty short, probably. Here again, if you have pre-planned what to do in weird situations, you may not have blowing bubbles on your list, but it helps you, when those interruptions come, to be prepared for the unexpected. Number 10, prepare for the unexpected. So have a list when Bob yells in class. I've never had a student yell in class and during class. Maybe other times, like art class or something. You can glance at your paper and give him a suitable punishment. Number 11, prepare. That is kind of a repeat here. Just really being prepared is a big part of this, I think. My opinion, but that's what I'm trying to get across, apparently. Prepare. So have that list when Sally sticks out her tongue at Tom. You can choose a suitable punishment. And don't give up. There are many life lessons you may be teaching them. I thought about this probably more this last school or last year or two of school. Many practical things in life that you are teaching them. Just in them doing their work. And how they deal with the time or how they deal with their how nice they write, if they could do better. There are many areas of your teaching and discipline that could possibly affect their life later on. Remember, students, number 13, remember students are a work in progress. You may just be a step in that progress. Don't feel like you need to fix everything right up front. Some things, yes, you can, but remember that students are a work in progress, and we also are. Number 14, don't think you need to fix everything to the T. Will we get it right every time? Of course not. But take courage for in planning for the moment of indecision and discernment. You will have already chosen your route. You will have already knocked down the weeds. And quickly, could you pass through that? I think I got those are what we went over, basically. I want to illustrate the last point again. I want to repeat that. Don't think you need to fix everything to the T. So I'm going to illustrate this about planning ahead or being prepared with a story about two fellows and see if you can see if planning is important. George is going deer hunting. Rushing out of bed at 8 o'clock in the morning, he is met with bright sunshine. He zooms back to his hunting ground on his four-wheeler just as he jumps off. He remembers he forgot his rifle. I'm not sure what hunter would do that, but anyway. Yes, he had his binoculars for looking for deer, he knew how to look for problems at school. He zooms off, kicking up a big cloud of dust, going straight back home. There at home, he realizes he better change into his camo gear. About the time he's ready to get on his four-wheeler, he recalls that he left his gun over at his friend's house for him to use to go hunting that morning. Tom crawls back in bed. Wait. After a bit, he crawls back out of bed, recalling that he does have another gun in the attic. I'm not sure why he stored up there. He gets it, and after another 10 minutes, he's off on his four-wheeler, stirring up dust. Once again at his hunting grounds, he now prepares himself for deer hunting. What a wild morning. He thinks it's terribly busy. Todd, the other fellow, having gotten up before the sun, not saying the teacher always has to, but gets a good breakfast and prepares for a morning hunt. That's the good guy, of course, right? Quietly sneaking out to his tree stand in his camo and sand block suit, he is up and waiting before the birds start twittering. Calm and prepared, he watches for signs of deer. Now, will being prepared make any difference when the deer come into view? Back to George, about 11:30. A deer comes zipping by, being chased by some creature. Tom, half asleep, yanks up his gun to fire. Tries to get a good aim and pulls the trigger. Click! Bob, I won't yell. Tom yells, I forgot the ammunition. Now, Todd, yes, there also comes a deer into his view. He has a deer in his scope. Does everything go perfectly for Todd? No. As he's looking through his cheap scope, it fogs up. So he tries to wipe it off. Didn't work. Then he goes to his backup plan, the iron sights. The deer steps closer, and he pulls the trigger. What happens next tells you if he was prepared or not. Don't you love those stories that end that way? You don't know what happened. Actually, I'll tell you. Maybe it's obvious. So what kind of teacher would you want to be? The one rushing about, or the one prepared? Even though not everything went as planned. The story ends, George does not get a deer, Todd does. So prepare for the unprepared, expect the unexpected, plan for the unplanned. Pray for wisdom to discern fairly. You know the battle is out there, you don't know which one, but the captain does, and he can help us guide lives for battles of their own. And we don't really have much time or any time, but if you had anything you want to point out or ask or disagree with, feel free. Or a scenario that you had a question on. Is it okay to punish students in front of the class? Like I did there?
Yeah.
Especially if I think it is if they did it in class. They're going to probably depend on what they did. If it was something that's not really something that happened in the bathroom, in the hall, or in outside where nobody else knew about it and you had to deal with it. I think that would probably be a different situation, but for myself, I don't think him coming up, well, if it was my student, I don't think they would want to do that same thing again as soon. Yeah. Now, Derek, it may depend on the school culture, but I don't, if at the beginning of the school year, they see, they're going to have to come up here every time they act up in class. It might help, but or they might get good at acting up behind your back, but hopefully not. Any other questions right now? Or comments? Okay, thank you for your time. I will let you be dismissed. And thank you, students, for helping with my experiments.